Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today's show is me speaking to you. Over the last year and a half or 2 years, I've been working with this project that has popped up in some of the shows in the same time period called The Reiki Home. And I have to say that in the last 6 months, this Reiki home has become more of a mystery, more of a puzzle, and has challenged the very foundation belief systems that I have about myself, about the world, and in some way about Reiki. Not that it challenges what Reiki is, universal life energy, or it challenges my form of practice, which it doesn't. But what it does is it has pushed me to stretch my limits of my mind. So, in order to explain what I mean, I'm going to go back to the very beginning. In the middle 1980s, when a group of masters was forming the Reiki Alliance and we were looking for a way to bridge the gap between the oral tradition of sitting with your master every week and listening to the Reiki story and so on, and acknowledging that it would be good for students to be able to somehow hold a kind of essence in their hand of what they received when they were initiated into the practice, we formulated a little book, and the cover is blue, and that's why it's called the Blue Book. This blue book is not available in theory to the public. It's only available through the Reiki Alliance and its members. The masters buy the book, not the students, and they gift the students the book. This was very important for me and for a lot of the masters who were members of the Alliance at the time. They asked me to write a little thing, a message to the students about Reiki. And I was a very young master at the time. I really didn't understand much of what was going on, I thought. And so I wrote this little two or three paragraphs, that's a page in this book. And at the end, I wrote this, which is an image. Imagine that you are standing in a room facing the corner of the room. And your face is almost pressed against the corner. And you feel trapped, nowhere to go, not very many choices, only what life has given you in that moment. I invite you to turn around and to see the choices that are behind you and now, as you have turned, in front of you. This, for me, at that time, was a very clear, simple example of what Reiki did for me and what I feel like it offers to all of us. Now, what is happening is that I feel like my turning around has not only opened up the room that I'm standing in, but a whole world of choices. And I don't mean colors of cars or what kind of car I buy, but choices about the way that I live my life, the way that I spend my money and I treasure my money, the way that I form and establish and maintain relationships, the way that I conduct business, the way that I speak, the way that I treat animals and plants and the earth, all of this is starting to take on a whole nother dimension, or maybe two or three dimensions. Because in inviting this group called Regenesis Group from Santa Fe to become consultants in this project, I realized that I had opened up something that I only had a very surface understanding about. I will get back to this in a little while. The word sustainable has been a challenging one for me, because it just seems like that in our world we have been engaged in unsustainable for so long that can we imagine anything to be sustainable? And if it was sustainable, is it possible that it would actually have any function in our life right now? So, you know, this is August in the United States, and, you know, every once in a while I watch the TV, especially now during the Olympics, and I end up listening sometimes to the politicians talk about their way of being, what they want to do for the United States and for the world and so on. And it just highlights for me my, not frustration, but my helplessness about how to change the world. And in the early days of Reiki, and up until today, which is still true actually, what I used to tell people is, if you want to heal the earth, treat yourself. If you want to change our society in the way that it works, treat yourself. Be a different person. And through that difference, things will start changing in your family, in your local community, your neighborhood, and maybe in your locale, and maybe in your country. Change happens with each of us, and it happens with each individual. The wonderful occupation movement that has been spreading throughout the world is a wonderful example of this realization by people these days that the individuals do count, that they do matter, and they need to fight for that place of individualism. Which brings me again back to my early days of Reiki. And as a part of my Reiki story, which is absolutely true, I was celebrating my 30th birthday, and I was up in the mountains in Colorado, about 10,000 or 11,000 feet, and we were having a big bonfire and celebrating my birthday. And in the middle of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning or something, I walked away from the fire and kind of looked at the stars and was musing about my life. And I thought, well, I should find something to do with my life. And I heard the words of my father say, well, you know how to have fun, but what about working? And I thought about all the things that I knew, jobs that I could participate in, businesses that I could help sustain, and I didn't want to do any of them. What I wanted to do, I realized, was to be able to celebrate individuality, for people to be able to be treated individually, not as a disease, not as a condition, not as a part of society, not as, you know, a 15-year-old, a 25-year-old, a 50-year-old, a 70-year-old. I wanted the individual to arise and be celebrated. Well, what I didn't realize, of course, was that that was what I wanted. And in projecting what I wanted to everybody else, perhaps I touched a nerve ending in the universe. So a couple of months later, my mother called me up and asked if I would travel with my grandmother in 6 months when she went on her Reiki tour. And eventually I said yes. And that changed my life. And Reiki has become, for me, this wondrous practice that allows us, through a very, very simple form of practice, to become individuated. You know, through my growing up years, all I ever wanted to do was to become like everybody else. I guess that's kind of an adolescent thing, right? You dress alike, you wear your hair alike, you know, in whatever cool group you're in. And of course, you know, for me, we were a Japanese family in the middle of a very Caucasian state and area. And it was just after the war, World War II had ended, and there was quite a lot of prejudice, very subtle sometimes, but definitely in the school system. And I just hated being Japanese. I just didn't really understand why we were there in Iowa. But I realized also when I went to my 40th high school reunion that my classmates actually didn't get that I was different, or that my eyes were different, or that I was Japanese. They basically just saw me, and I didn't. So that was an interesting insight some 40 years later. So in my quest for being the same, I also, of course, wanted to be an individual, wanted to be seen, wanted to be recognized, wanted to be myself somehow. But I had construed myself so much to be the same that I kind of lost myself in the process. I don't know if this sounds familiar to any of you, but certainly seems like a familiar story. So here I am. I enter the practice of Reiki thinking that, you know, it's handy to have around in case I burn myself while I'm cooking, or in case I get a cold, or in case of this, that, or the other thing. And 30 years later, I find myself understanding that this is much more than a Band-Aid. This is a way of life. That it is much more than healing what's broken. It's a way for me to see that I and everyone else is whole, just as we are. And the healing is to bring that wholeness to vision. And I have come from Reiki being something that's kind of hidden in the back room to wanting Reiki to take its place firmly in our society, to extend the gift that it has to offer to those who want it, and to be able to have a close-knit community that doesn't need to live together, that we can be together in ways through our practice. So, here I am, 30 years later, some more than 30 years later, working on this thing, I don't want to call it a project, called the Reiki Home. And what I find out is that all these years I've been living, I've been in the flow of this kind of world that is based on separation. Well, I think our first experience of separation is when the umbilical cord is cut and we become separated from our mother. And the longing to go back to the oneness lives in every one of us to some degree. And I feel that in my traveling through the Reiki community, that the practice of Reiki not only touches this longing, but makes it a kind of imperative that I'm going to do this no matter what. I'm going to find the practice that speaks to my heart, my soul. I'm going to find a place to live where I can be congruent. I'm going to find a way to be in relationship so that I don't feel separated. And at the same time, we hold this great paradox of being spirit and having the understanding that we are one in that spirit and living in these human bodies, which somehow just the definition of body creates separation. But this is natural separation. You know, this is the separation that happened through our natural process of becoming human, however you want to imagine that happening. What's interesting and layered on top of that now is that we have been living a lifestyle of separation. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that, you know, from when we learn how to talk and walk, somehow it's, this is theirs, and this is yours. This is ours, and this is someone else's. This is not your house, this is somebody else's house. You know, this is where men sit, this is where women sit, this is where children sit to have dinner, this is where adults sit to have dinner. I mean, separation, we're engaged in separation. And then, you know, we grow up and our whole world is layered in separation. And critically, meaning essentially, the thing that really is about separation is the economics or the way that we hold money, which is actually an interesting place because it comes from people wanting to be connected, right? Wanting to be connected through the exchange of money. And it ended up that money has created so many layers of separation that we can't even begin to unravel the knots that are inside of us that bind us in this existence of separation. This separation is our human projection. It's something that, you know, because of this essential feeling of separation, we kind of projected onto everything. So, you know, we end up being not a part of nature, but the ruler of nature. We end up, you know, men being not a part of women, or women being a part of men, but men being the controllers of women at one point. And all adults being the controllers of children. So right now, I look back at the story of Reiki. I look back at the creation stories from all indigenous cultures. And in every story, there is oneness. And I feel that what's happening in our Reiki practice, whatever form it takes, this form will lead us back to oneness, not just in essence, not just in realizing, yes, we are all one, but absolutely changing the way that we live and changing our values, changing our beliefs, changing the things that we teach our children, changing everything. Because Reiki points out the path that nature, that we are. Reiki points out the path that we are, not what we should be, not what we're supposed to be, not what we separate ourselves to be, but what we are. I love this poem by Heifetz. I want to just read you this. Even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, "You owe me." Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. Even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, "You owe me." Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky. This is what we have tapped into. And it changes the very basic cellular structure of who we are as human beings. This is what I'm believing these days. I wouldn't have said that 30 years ago. And saying that now feels like, you know, kind of on the edge of something. I don't know. The abyss, maybe. Well, you know, I could be like Dr. Sui and somebody could say, "Prove it to me." Well, I can't prove it to you. I just see the evidence around me. And, you know, I go to seminars all over the world. I meet people who have come to Reiki through many amazing processes, situations, and coincidences. I have met people who practice Reiki. I don't even recognize as Reiki, actually. But there is something that is touched in each of us that brings us to the same place. And it's because of this essential longing for oneness and this essential longing to have, to be separate, but to hold the oneness. I think that's how I want to say it. This is for me the function of Reiki. Healing what's whole. And the healing what's whole is just seeing what's whole. We are whole beings. And, you know, essentially I haven't changed in all these years of Reiki. But what's changed has been my attitude toward myself, my belief about my limitations, my understanding of my own challenges, my understanding of who I am as a personality. And that path just continues to deepen and deepen and deepen, to grow wider. And in doing that, it makes this room for lots of other people and lots of other places and lots of other things. So I'm less angry. I don't worry nearly as much. I live my life in a more honorable way, and maybe a more honoring way. I feel that I hold money. I hold who I am in this world of connected relationship, in commerce, in business, in touching other people and the exchange of money. I feel like I'm much more honest. Not because I pay my taxes, which I have through all these years, in a different way, but because now I really understand what I'm offering, anyway, to this moment. And that moment's going to change. And the other thing is that I am so grateful. I mean, the gratitude for what I have been given through this very simple practice is, I mean, it kind of astonishes me. So right now, I'm on the verge of just giving everything I have to Reiki Home because this is what calls me. This is going to put this particular practice from a secret hidden closet kind of misunderstood entity to stepping out and being honored, being respected, being visible, being of service. Not just when we want to, but being of service. And the step that this will take will be in, because we've taken these 30 years to really look at ourselves, to be internal. You know, like Reiki is first for yourself. Well, that's still true. Reiki is definitely still first for yourself. It's first for yourself because we are a part of everything. And if we change, if we heal, if we get that we are whole, then so will everybody else to a certain extent. And the more people there are into this depth of practice, well, the more visible it becomes. But now it is time for us to raise our heads out of the eye, holding that, knowing that we're never going to let that go because it's just not possible anyway, and to look to the who is out there. Who's my other half? You know, what is the context of my life? And all around me, you know, I see people in these little everyday episodes of what's in it for me. You know, what's in it for me? I watch the Olympics and, you know, sometimes the newscasters and their interview styles just amaze me. But they're trained that way. They're trained because this is the society of separation. You know, everything is, well, what did you think of your opponents? You know, how are you going to get back at them if you've lost? How do you feel now that you've won over everybody else? You know, it's like, huh? I thought that the Olympics came from the society that knew that they were one, and that in this celebration of human athleticism, that people could be joined together. But the interviews, the way that people blanket this with competitiveness in a way of separation, not natural competitiveness, like a tree growing under the shade of another tree and rising up, you know, spreading its branches to take in part of the sun. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about contrived separateness that puts one person over the other, making them a better person. And then you get these bright sparks from the athletes themselves of, hey, You know, I'm just blown away by being here at the Olympic Games. I've met so many people and I've just fallen in love. And I am so grateful that my life brought me here and this will change my life. And you hear that from many of the athletes. And, you know, they have the strength to keep that understanding, this paradox of human separateness, but we are all one. And that when we celebrate another, we celebrate ourselves. And when we celebrate ourselves, we celebrate another. Not celebrate as in, I'm better than you, but celebrate like, wow, all of my training, all of my everything, all of my practice, you know, notice that word, practice, all of my practice, all of my practice, came to this moment, and in this critical moment, this is what I did with it. What's going to be our critical moment in Reiki? What's going to be our critical moment as Reiki students? This is something that Yo-Yan and I have been talking about, as you know. And for me, obviously, my critical moment is going to be when I'm dying. Because this is the biggest step of my life. Because all of a sudden, it's my belief and in some way my knowing from being with people who have died and practicing Reiki that this is my giant step into oneness. Am I going to cling to this body that keeps me separate? Am I going to cling to my personality and my family because this is who I am or who I think I am? Am I going to cling to all my material possessions because this defines me, makes me real, keeps me separate? No. When I cross the threshold, I'm done with this. And I want to go with my arms wide open, welcoming, knowing and trusting that it's another world, another whole set of challenges. And I'd like to think that when I'm ready to be born again, that I also welcome that with open arms, because sometimes people think, well, we should grieve birth and celebrate death. And I say, in the spectrum of everlasting life, they're just steps along the way. And it is our posture, it is a way that we stand and hold ourselves that is so important. So, in the last few months, I've just been totally confused about this thing called Reiki Home. Totally confused about who am I and what am I doing? And is this just some egotistical thing that I've got going on here? Is this something that will come to nothing and I can say, but I tried my best? Well, I realized, you know, a couple of months ago that I haven't tried my best. Because I haven't given up this idea that this is the only way to be, this way of separation. And once I give that up, then I'm automatically going to look around and say, when I drive to the store, is this going to serve the earth? Is this going to serve my neighbors? Is this going to serve me, my body? Is this going to serve my family? Is this going to serve the people that grow the food? Is this going to serve everyone? You know, I know you think this is kind of crazy, many of you, but it is really an important question. You know, it isn't about really stopping flying. It's about being conscious of flying. It isn't about stopping using cars, although if you can put it to a minimum, that's great. One of the things that I'm really admirable about with Ben Haggard, this friend of mine who works in Regenesis Group, he basically rides his bike everywhere. And he only uses this car that he shares, actually, with a number of other families at times when he really needs to use it and feels like this is the only way that he can get from point A to B and do what he needs to do. And that's not very often. So he lives what he believes. He lives his life because otherwise he couldn't live with himself. And it's been interesting for me to consider this because I'm not a very physical person and, you know, biking everywhere just seems like a lot. So I'm still a baby in this for sure. And yet and there are other places where I feel like I'm really beginning to get it. I'm really beginning to get it. And I'm excited because, you know, this is more than a three-dimensional room space. This is like five or six dimensions that we're stepping into. And that there is no limit. Reiki, universal life energy, limitless energy, limitless possibilities. I was in Spain visiting a Reiki master friend of mine, and two of her children were over for dinner, and they're like in their late, they were at that time in their early 30s, and young business people. And I said, you know, the world is such a mess. Don't you worry about it? And they go, no. We have everything we need to take our next steps. We know that we can do this. Something else is going to happen. And I just like, I was like, my mind was such a closed door at the time. I thought, well, that's kind of idealistic. What are those steps? Now I see what those steps are and how we can really recapture this place of sustainability, because obviously all the Aboriginal cultures were sustainable. You know, they were a part and we are a part of nature, and no matter what their folklore was or their the animals in which they saw themselves in and so on, all of this was still sustainable. And it has just been in the Industrial Revolution. Well, maybe it started with this religious doctrine of separateness. But, you know, in the last years, it's just snowballed. And now we can't think, you know, like we have a hard time thinking that there's another way to think. So, one of the really exciting things is that we're being taught how to take a step back into sustainability. And it's so exciting, so amazing. So if when you hear about the Reiki home, you say, what's in it for me? search really deeply, because there's everything for you, and you don't have to come to the Reiki home. You just have to be the Reiki home. And when you say, why do we need a Reiki home? I say, look around you at our Reiki community, at the separateness that is intrinsic in our community, that is so deeply entrenched in our community that we don't even notice that it's separateness. We're practicing a practice that every day brings us from the separateness of the relative world to the oneness of the absolute and back again. It brings us there over and over on this energetic soul level, in the way with money. Like, for instance, I wake up and I think, well, I think I'll go shopping today. And I see something and I think, yes, that's for me. Doesn't cost much, but I'm going to buy it. And then I get home and I think, well, why did I pay that much for it? I could have made it for thus and thus and thus, half the price or whatever. And it's not about the money. It's like you went from the relative world of, am I getting value for money, to the absolute world of, yes, someone made this, someone is selling this, this is what the exchange is, I'm willing to give it, it doesn't matter at that moment what the exchange is, I'm going to do it, because it has this intrinsic value for me that is priceless. Reiki takes us in relationship. How many times when arguing, which is, of course, ultimate separation, do we come back and give each other Reiki, or give ourselves Reiki and come back to our oneness? Come back to the place where we go, well, that was not such a big deal. How did we ever get into this? And it is really an amazing practice. Practicing daily, practicing in every way possible, this will prepare us for the ultimate step of our lives. And in the meantime, it prepares us for the steps that we are taking as human beings, as a developing society. And this practice is developing. How can we become co-creators of our own lives? This is a really interesting image. I just like to give this to you verbally, and when you draw it out on a piece of paper, it's even more stunning. It was for me, anyway. It's called a framework, which is a kind of visual of energy. So there's always in our lives, in every situation, in every moment, there is the activating energy and there is the restraining energy. When you lift weights, there's the activating muscle and the restraining muscle. It's just how it works. And in our life, we have these great ideas. We have these dreams. We have these visions. We have these wonderful ways to do things, and that's activating, that stimulates us, that takes us into another place in ourselves. And then we have these restraining influences, like, you know, a father that says, that's a really stupid idea. Why would anybody ever want to pay money for that? Or Reiki home. Well, that's a really weird idea. Why would we want to have that? I'm never going to go to Arizona. That's restraining force. And each one of these forces has equal energy. They are not negative and positive in the way of, that we might think of good and bad. They are two energies of the same. They are not separated. Now, we can layer and blanket this particular dynamic with separateness and say, okay, activating good, restraining bad. But actually, that's not possible. Because to move into creation, everything has to have a container. You contain this force, and all of a sudden it starts to build. And you can do one of two things when you have activating and restraining force. You can either compromise, that means reduce the amount of energy for each group, and or each force, and come to compromise. And you know, compromise is never satisfying. It may feel emotionally safe, but it's not satisfying. If you apply Reiki, if you apply something that has its source in inspiration, then you will take this energy, activating and restraining, and move it up into creativity. You will, if you hold it long enough, create something in that moment that will use 100% of both of those energies. So it is my feeling and my wish at this moment that I increase my capacity to hold the activating force of Reiki Home and the restraining force of Reiki Home, hold it in myself, in my being, in my world, and in that holding, apply Reiki and allow it to lift me and all those in Reiki to something that's going to be a big new step. Something that will use all of our competitiveness, will use all of our judgments about the other person, keeping us separate, will use all of our fears, our beliefs about money. We'll use all of that to benefit everyone. The earth, every person living on the earth, the natural world that we belong to, our students, our masters, our families, our neighborhoods, our communities. We can really take the step of service. We can really take the step. We can take the step that loves as the sun loves the earth. It's not really a human emotion what they're talking about. It's just so. It's just so in the absolute universe. We can say Reiki is unconditional love, but that in itself conditions it. What I'm just feeling the edge of is this potential to burst into flame that we can unleash the oneness of love, not the human emotion of love, but the being of love that each of us contains and has within us always. We can let go of this separation of unconditional, conditional love and go to love. Margaret Crum and I, a few months ago, had a great interview about love. And now all these interviews are starting to come together. And I'm really happy that I've been able to share this with you and hope that this will inspire you to, I don't know, if you feel trapped, to just stand in a corner, literally, and turn around, see what it feels like, what your choices are. See how it feels inside. I mean, it's scary. If you think that I'm not scared right now, I'm scared. And I'm excited. That's the same emotion, just different words. Each one of us will take our own time and our own place in this rebirth of being human. Reiki helps us to come to this sooner and perhaps with more ease than those who don't have a spiritual practice, that don't have a way to bridge the relative to the absolute oneness. We do it through choice. Sustainable choices, putting our hands on, giving Reiki, making decisions, balancing our internal with the external questions of who am I serving? And this is not about working for no money. This is, I mean, true service. It has nothing to do with money. So, stay tuned, because the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be immersed in what I'm talking about today. And I hope to be able to interview some people who are being immersed with me, because I don't want to convince you of anything. I want to share with you my excitement of how radically my life is changing right now through the simple practice of Reiki. And through listening to Reiki and where it's leading us. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, balancing form and essence.